I love Christmas. I don't know why, I just do, don't you? Something about it. When you think of Christmas, I think of home. When I think of home, I think of Christmas. But around the world today, there are 271,521 people in the armed services who will not be home for Christmas. And millions of others around the world who are citizens of America will not make it home for Christmas. And in our own United States, how many thousands are there who want to be home, would like to come home, but couldn't afford to come, had other conflicts and had to stay, and somehow they'll not be at home Christmas. What is it about Christmas that makes all of us want to be at home? No other holidays like this. Nobody says, well, I'm home for the 4th of July, you know. Or we got to be home for Labor Day. But for Christmas, we just almost have to be at home. When I was away from home, when I went away, I hitchhiked one whole day just trying to get home for Christmas. And I remember when I finished my first year in seminary, Jo Beth was graduating from college way in North Mississippi, Blue Mountain College, and I finished my finals. I'd been up for 3 days and nights trying to cram it all in, but when I got through, I got in my car, threw it there, and I started for Blue Mountain, drove all night long, got there and picked her up and put in the car, and we drove to Laurel, Mississippi. We've been dating for almost 6 years. Went down that Christmas to a little jewelry store in our hometown that was operated by a classmate of ours, and he showed us all these diamonds. And I found one big, beautiful one, cost a little over $600, and made a down payment. She picked out a setting. And then on Christmas Eve, I took her to the goalposts there in the junior high school where I first kissed her and gave her that engagement ring that Christmas. Then we went to my folks' house, her grandparents' house, her folks' house, and told everybody that we were engaged. We all have moments in Christmas like that. It's monumental times in our lives. We have traditions in our family. In my family, my mother would always make a fruitcake, and I'd smell that fruitcake now. Every Christmas, I'd think about that, and we would have mincemeat pie, and we'd have turkey and dressing, and aunts and uncles, and all the family would come over. Christmas tradition. Some of you have your big meal on Christmas Eve tonight. Others will have your big meal tomorrow on Christmas. Others open presents tonight. That's when the kids want to do it. And others wait and open the presents Christmas morning like you're supposed to. But we have our traditions, but every Christmas is different. There's some chairs that are empty that were filled last year, some marriages that are no longer functioning, some grandparents that are out here, or parents, or friends. And so we go back at Christmas, we have all those remembrances that just flood through our minds. But the main thing, we just, if at all possible, want to be at home for Christmas. Now, it's ironical. Maybe you've never thought about it. In the first Christmas, the leading actors there, not a single one of them were at home. Mary and Joseph were not at home. Home. Nazareth, they're in Bethlehem for taxation purposes. They were not at home. The shepherds, they were not home. They were running the night shift to protect the sheep from the wolves. They certainly were not home that first Christmas. And the wise men, they were a long, long way from home because they traveled a long time from the east, following that supernatural star that would lead them to the advent, to the coming of the Son of God into the world. The wise men were a long way from home. And you know who was the farthest from home, anybody, that first Christmas? Jesus, the Christ child. He left heaven, another dimension, and paradise, and the throne, and came all the way down to this earth, God in flesh, the humility of God in that manger, in that stable. Jesus was farther from home than any other single individual. Home, Christmas, Christmas, home, synonymous. Now, what gives you and I a sense of at-homeness? What makes us feel, you know, I'm at home? What is the dynamic of home? It's not geography. It's not really the apartment of the house where we were brought up or raised or where we live. It's not that. Home, first of all, gives us a sense of belonging. When you're at home, you say, I belong here. This is my family. We have a place there. We know where we sit. We know the conversation. We don't have to prove anything. Everybody knows everything about everybody else. I belong here. This is my spot. This is my history. This is my heritage. This is who I am. A sense of belonging gives us a sense of being at home. Also, at home gives us a sense of security. You feel it's safe at home. You feel like, you know, we stand together. We're at one. We protect one another. Front and back, we're always there. We feel secure at home. And in our world of so much insecurity today, we know in a flash, a capricious mistake by a nation, and all of a sudden we are facing a world war of proportions we can't even imagine. A lack of security in our world. Economic security, capriciousness. This is worth that. It may not be worth anything. Is it depression? Is it inflation? So we don't feel secure, but somehow we get with our family, our friends at Christmas at home. There's a feeling of warmth and security and a feeling that, you know, we belong together. We're one. Also at Christmas, there's a sense of forgiveness. I mean, more than once, I'd left home and not been exactly right with my dad, and I'd come home for Christmas and see me there was healing and forgiveness and all was forgotten. And with a brother or sister or a member of the family or a friend, Christmas has tremendous healing around the worship of Christ, the Son of God. So it gives a sense of belonging, a sense of security, a sense of forgiveness. That's big. Forgiveness. How we need forgiveness. You never feel at home until you know you're living, you've experienced genuine forgiveness. There's a wonderful story about a reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times named Jack Davenport. Jack knew he was adopted. He knew that he was born in Clearwater, Texas. He knew his parents went down and picked him up as a baby, but that's all that he knew. But in a couple of weeks before Christmas, one December, he received an envelope, and in the envelope, there was a picture of a church, black and white, old picture, and he looked at it, and it said on the front of the church, Clearwater Lutheran Church. And he didn't know anything about Clearwater. He just knew he was born there. But it was intriguing. Why would someone send him an envelope with just this old black and white picture of this Lutheran church in Clearwater? At the same time, he and his wife Meg were having problems. Years before, he'd been unfaithful. They'd had trouble communicating, trouble getting back together. And she was always on top of him and nagging, as he called it. And it got to the point that they decided they would travel trial separation to see if their marriage would stand. And with that picture of that church and knowing he had an assignment from the newspaper soon to go to Dallas, he left 3 or 4 days early, made his way to Dallas by plane, rented a car, and went there to Clearwater, Texas, looking for this church. He drove in that little community. He soon found the church. He parked his car. It was cold. It was windy. And he got out not knowing anybody, and he started walking up the way, the path to the church, and on the right was a beautiful little manger scene. Carved figures, almost life size. They were painted. He could tell it was a magnificent work of art by an artist who worked with wood. And he went over and started looking at it. It was even more magnificent than he had guessed. The eyelashes were carved, and the eyes, and the hands, and the knuckles, and the fingernails. And he was just overwhelmed at such a beautiful, beautiful piece as this manger scene. About that time, a man walked up, had on a baseball hat, big glasses, had on a uniform, and over his pocket it said maintenance. And he went up and said, "I'm Joe." And Jack turned around and says, "I'm Jack." He said, "You're not from around here." He said, "No, I'm from Chicago. I came down and I'm just spending some time here." And he said, "I'm admiring this beautiful work of art." He said, "How did it happen to get here?" He said, "Well, there was a man named Mr. Ottoman. We have a lot of German background people here. He made wooden furniture." And said he was married to the love of his life, and she was expecting, and he was drinking. They had a car accident. His wife was killed, but the baby survived. And he spent 10 years doing penance, carving out this manger scene for the church. He said, "I want to show you something about this scene you wouldn't notice." And he got the little wooden Christ child there in the manger that was covered with a blanket and said, look at the chest of the baby. And there was a little cross carved in the chest. And he said, "What does that mean?" And Joe said, "Well, it's unusual." But he said, "Mr. Ottoman was not a Christian when this tragedy happened." And he started to carve this and said he went to church, though, when his daughter Carmen, just the two of them, they sat on the front row, and the pastor delivered a sermon entitled, "Born Crucified, Born Crucified." And he pointed out how the baby in the manger was born to die on a cross. That Jesus came not just to live with us, he came here to die for us. And he said, that changed Mr. Ottoman's life. He became a Christian and said he would talk about it all the time. Christmas is Calvary. Jesus was born to be crucified so we could be forgiven of all of our sins. And the reporter asked, "Well, what happened to Mr. Ottoman?" He said, "This is the hardest thing to believe." Said he brought up his little girl, Carmen. She was beautiful. Said she had long black hair, black eyes. Said she was striking. And said he was from the old school. And said, "I don't want any boys getting around my daughter." And he protected her and protected her in her teenage years, wouldn't let her go anywhere or do anything. He just was fearful of any kind of boy being with his daughter. He did a good job, almost. Carmen discovered she was pregnant. She couldn't tell her dad. And therefore, until it became obvious that she was, in the month of December, he was devastated. He began to drink again. And the process, Joe told the reporter, "You'll never believe what happened." Can the same thing happen to the same man twice? The woman that he loves, carrying a child, he drinking in an accident, cost the life of both women. Can it happen twice? And he said, sure enough, that happened. They were going to the hospital. He had an accident. He was drinking again. And there they were, Carmen in a coma, his daughter pregnant. And there was Mr. Ottoman. Said he prayed, "Oh, dear Jesus, save Carmen. Oh, dear Jesus." Said the doctor said that when Carmen gets strong enough, we'll be able to take the baby. The baby is okay. And so then, a day before Christmas Eve, Carmen awakened. And she looked and said, "Papa, where am I?" And he explained to her that he'd been drinking and there was an accident and they were in the hospital. And he said, "Can you forgive me?" And she said, "Papa, I love you. I forgive you." And then she said, "Papa, there's one thing. Has the baby come?" He said, "No." She said, "Oh, I want so much to hold a baby in my arms on Christmas Eve." And she went to sleep. Christmas Eve came, still in a coma. Mr. Ottoman said, "Joe, said all of a sudden he had an idea. He got up and left the hospital room the first time in over a week and went across the street. And he went and got the baby out of the manger scene. He said, this little baby here, and took that little wooden baby with a cross carved with his heart and took it in the hospital room and put it there in the arms of Carmen and said, Princess, now you're holding a baby on Christmas Eve. And the reporter asked and said, well, what happened? He said, Carmen died. But he said, what about the baby? He said, oh, he lived. He said, well, what happened to Mr. Ottoman? He said, well, he could never go home again. He said he was a good man who twice had done a bad thing. He said he'd never do before again, but he said he couldn't go home. And so the church took him in and put him in a little room and let him work there and be the maintenance man. And Jack, the reporter, looked at him and says, Joe, who are you? Joe said, you have her eyes, you know. He said, was Carmen my mother? Yes, she was. Then you're my grandfather. Yes. He said, I took a chance hoping you'd come when I sent that picture of the church. I took a chance that maybe that we could know one another. A few hours went by, and Jack called his wife, Meg, in Chicago, told her the story. He found his roots. And Meg said, did you feel angry at Joe? He said, no, I didn't feel angry. I just took his explanation. A good man did a bad thing and had found forgiveness. Then he said, Meg, can you forgive me? Can we have a home again? She said, certainly, I forgive you. And he says, I'm coming home to Chicago for Christmas. She said, no, I've got a better idea. And Meg flew to Texas, went there to Clearwater, Texas, and the next night had an evening meal with two men who had found the grace and the forgiveness of this season, two men who had found their way home at Christmas. Is anyone here lost? Is anyone here you just wandered away? Is anyone here you don't feel like you really belong to God and belong to Christ as you once did or as you should? Do you not feel the security you used to feel when you're at home with God and home with Christ? Is there any forgiveness that needs to take place as you confess to Him and get things right with others so they can be healing and confidence in your life? Does anyone here need to pray a homecoming prayer and say simply, Lord, I've just wandered away in this world and my activities, and I've moved away from knowing you and your church in faithfulness and worship in my own life. I want to come home to Christ this Christmas. I want to come home to Christ this Christmas so I belong. I'll feel secure. Oh, yes, so I'll be totally forgiven. When we look at a Christmas tree, we see the ornaments and lights, and most of us are probably more concerned with presents under the tree than anything else. But it's not the presents you'll receive or the presents I'll receive. We wonder whether or not that present we got for our wife or our husband or the presents we got for our kids, will it really meet their needs? Will they really be excited about it? You see, the perfect gift expresses the personality of the giver and meets the needs of those who receive it. God did that in Christmas. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus perfectly expressed the personality of God. What is God like? Look at Jesus. Also, Jesus met your needs and my needs. He came in this world, lived a perfect life, died on a cross for your sin and my sin, so now we have an entree to God. We can have a relationship with Almighty God because Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. Would you like to know that you have that relationship? It's a simple thing to do, but it's life-changing. As the Lord is leading you, would you like to know that you're in God's family, that your sins are forgiven? The provision is there, the opportunity for you right now to enter into a relationship with God because of Jesus Christ. He has been the mediator between you and God. Accept that. Invite Him in your life. If you'd like to do that, would you pray this prayer right where you were? Answer these words right after me. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting my needs. That's right. Thank you for coming into this life and dying for me. That's right. Right now, I confess all my sin. I turn from all my sin. And right now, I invite you to come into my life. I give you all that I am and all that I'll ever be. Thank you for salvaging me, restoring me to the purpose for which I was made. Thank you for giving me. This is a great Christmas. That's right. Tell God that. And I thank you for inviting me into your family. Thank the Lord for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer with me, call the number on your screen. We want to rejoice with you in your decision. We have some materials we'd like to send you to help you begin your brand new winning walk with Christ. And from my home to yours, I want to wish you a blessed, celebratory, merry, merry Christmas.
Guilt can make our lives feel like a prison, trapped in a life that is consumed by doubt and shame. But our God is a God of second chances. In the series, One Way, From Guilt to Grace, Dr. Young uses the truth and power of God's Word to take us from guilt and condemnation to a life filled with God's grace. It's a path full of faith, hope, and love that will lead you to become the person God created you to be. To get this life-changing CD series, call the number on your screen or go online to winningwalk.org and we'll send you a copy. It's our gift to you for any amount.
Some people live their whole life in guilt and shame. They can't get over yesterday.
It is possible to live a life under God's grace and free from guilt.
Come down.
I'm always amazed this time of the year how the world around us is transformed into Christmas. All the sights and sounds and the season are in the air all around us. But yet, some of us, in fact, a lot of us, are going to miss it. You see, we have cluttered up with a lot of insignificant things, and we end up missing the simple, plain truth and power of the Savior of this world being born into a lowly manger. To help you stay focused on the true meaning of Christmas, we have written a special daily devotional called The Gift. Each day you'll get a scripture, a brief devotional, and a prayer delivered right to your tablet, smartphone, or computer. It's easy to read wherever you are. To get your devotional, go to our website, winningwalk.org, and sign up for The Gift. Use this devotional to prepare yourself for the celebration of the ultimate gift, Jesus Christ, this Christmas season. Get your devotional. I'll tell you, you'll get in the spirit of Christmas, and the spirit of Christmas, it'll get into you.